Scott. You're on the Arms Room Show with Glenn.
And Drew.
And Bravo.
Thank you guys for being patrons. You know, we talk a lot about what we do with your patronage, but, you know, sometimes we get to give you very specific examples. So this last week I had the opportunity to go out to a school out in the West Phoenix area, actually the Glendale area for any of you guys who know where the hell that is, and participate in a training that was almost 60 teachers. That shit blew my mind. I mean, anytime a school is like, hey, we're going to have like 60 people, I'm like, I'd be surprised if there's like 20. You know what I mean? Because everyone's going to sign up, then everyone's going to fucking bail at the last minute. Totally not what happened. I was actually kind of overwhelmed by how many people showed up and were able to participate in a Stop the Bleed program for their school. Now, as is normal, it was, of course, a religious school, which it almost always is, either a Christian or a Jewish school. It's like those two organizations are all about getting the training that we provide. We're able to provide this at no cost to them. Cost to us, all right? But no cost to them, thanks to our patrons. So, you know, if you're a patron, feel proud. You got the opportunity to help a pretty big school participate in a Stop the Bleed program. You got to help prepare them with training. We were also, thanks to your guys' patronage, able to donate some supplies to them. And that's just going to, you know, continue on. So thank you guys for your continued patronage and your support of the show. It doesn't just keep us going on the show. We really are redirecting that into the community. So we truly appreciate that. And that kind of ties into one of our news stories, which we'll get to here in a minute. But before we jump into that, alumni group, don't forget, if you're an Independence Training alumni, get on the forum, damn it. Like, we put a lot of effort into this shit. Fucking go on there and sign up. You can go to trainingaz.com, go to the top right corner or whatever the drop-down menu is on your mobile app or whatever, and, you know, get it, and you're good. And even our forum has an app through Discourse that you can just connect to our forum through an app on your phone, and it's awesome because there are so many people already participating in a lot of great conversations and hilarious freaking meme threads and alumni events and, you know, communication stuff and separate training groups. And it just, there's tons and tons of information already available on the alumni forum. It's all controlled by us. So, you know, it's not being exposed out there to Facebook and all that shit like it was before. So if you're not an alumni, please become an alumni. All right, come to an Independence Training class. I don't care if it's a Stop the Bleed class. Like, come to an Independence Training class so you can be an alumni and then you can join this alumni group. And if you're an alumni and you're not on the group, you are missing out on a great opportunity. All right, Combatives Corner with Dave. Oh, my God, Dave.
That was your phone. It's always
that
your
was
phone.
Not my that phone. Was, oh, that was not my phone.
Only because it's the first time that's
that
ever
was,
happened.
That was your phone. Your phone. Who's Big Titty? Who's that? Who's Big Titties? Why do you have that even saved as a fucking contact in your phone?
I guess he called.
David?
It was Pastor Dwayne. Oh, hello.
Whatever.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, that was a pastor? It's even better. It's even fucking better. All right. All right. Combatives Corner with Dave. Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead. My turn. Hey, so I want to talk briefly about weapons. I had a chance to work with an Independence Training client today privately, very much on... We spent an hour just on weapons defense, primarily handgun. And just like you find in the shooting community, in the combatives community, the martial arts community, whatever, there's a lot of junk out there. There's a lot of myths. There's a lot of nonsense that is out there and spread. So weapon defense is a real thing. You can be successful at doing it, 100%. Anecdotally, I can tell you that I have been successful in this kind of stuff. So, but you do have to understand the training and where it's coming from and vet it and that kind of thing, because there's a lot of garbage out there. When I started 30 years ago in this, what I was learning, for example, in gun defense is not what I teach now. Because over the years, I kept finding better and better and better stuff. And so I would, because I was willing to accept that this was better than what I had before, I would move to the next best thing. I would pressure test it. I would vet it. I would make sure that it was solid. And now is where I find myself with what I believe is some really good, effective forms of weapon defense. But if your combatives doesn't include some kinds of weapon defense, you need to include that.
All right, Combatives Corner with Dave, brought to you by Premier Martial Arts Scottsdale and Premier Martial Arts Peoria. Please make sure that you guys check out those programs with Dave. All right, on to some news. Boy, do I have a couple good ones to start with. I actually have a lot of news, but we have to kind of condense our show a little bit today because we're on a bit of a time crunch for this week's show. But that's okay. I want to start with this because I think it's fucking hilarious. Frontier Airlines will be closing check-in and bag drop earlier starting this month. So instead of 45 minutes, they're now going to start at 60 minutes before a flight. So the airline standard is 45 minutes before your flight takes off, they stop allowing checked baggage. This is even more important, by the way, for any of you guys who fly with firearms. Total side note here. It is critical, absolutely critical that you know this. If you're going to fly with a gun, you cannot check your bag less than 45 minutes before your flight departs. Or I'm sorry, before it boards. All right. They will not allow it. All right. In my past, I've gotten fucked one big time on that. And luckily, I was still able to make it to my class. But my point being is I showed up, it's like 40 minutes. I'm like, I got plenty of time. I'm a little late, but it's okay. No, it's not okay. That's why nowadays when it comes to getting to the airport, I don't fuck around, man. I get there plenty of time early. So Frontier in their move that surprises fucking nobody is going to continue to fuck their people even more by taking that standard of 45 minutes and extending it to 60 minutes. So also, you know, let's not forget that their checked baggage is also less weight and more expensive. And of course, they'll still be charging you for all this. In another fun Frontier news, Frontier is now, they involuntarily bump passengers more than any other U.S. airline. How much more, you might ask? Let's say it was, I don't know, eight times.
Oh, wow.
How in the fucking hell is this company still, who the fuck is still flying with Frontier? I shit you not. With as much as we've been flying this year, I mean, I've probably been on a plane 2 to 3 times a month back and forth, and that's multiple, sometimes that's multiple airlines at multiple airports just to get where I'm going, right? So it's like, in any given trip, I usually have at least one layover. So let's say in any given trip, I'm on 4 different airplanes at least 2 to 3 different airports, sometimes 4 different airports every fucking trip. And I'm doing this several times a month for like the last several months, all right? I have heard nothing but shit talk against Frontier. I mean, people at the bar I'm getting a drink at. Drew and I will bump into people in the freaking line at the checkout place buying a candy bar or whatever. Fucking everybody hates Frontier. How in the hell is this organization still in business?
Because they're government subsidized.
Oh my God. It's like literally the worst organization. Unbelievable. 8 times? Holy shit.
I can't believe people still fly that airline.
It's garbage, dude.
I don't know.
And it's the most expensive. It's literally more expensive to fly with them than it is to fly with Delta.
Yeah. At first, I was like, okay, well, people just don't know. But now people know. It's all over everywhere. Everybody hates Frontier.
And they still fly it. They still fly. Ugh. It kind of is like that fucking dickhead said to me on the plane. The one time we flew with Frontier, where he was like, well, people say they're never coming back, but I just say, well, see you next week. And it's like, dude, how? First of all, I still hate that motherfucker. But second of all, like, how do people see that and go, dude, if you add up all the baggage, it is more expensive to fly with them than to fly with anyone else. We fly with Delta. We're always very happy with Delta. Delta always treats us very nice. They always do such a freaking great job.
Well, it's just, why do people still shop at Target? Why do people still, you know, shop at the places that have just shown they don't give a crap about their customers?
Another news. 7 critically injured in school bus crash that closes major highway in Idaho. A school bus filled with 30 people crashed near a major highway in Idaho last Friday. The crash occurred around 3 p.m., blah, blah, blah. 11 people were injured. All the children on the bus were transported by air or ground ambulance to nearby hospitals in an abundance of caution. Now, here's why I bring this up. All right, here's why I want to talk about a school bus crashing. It's school season again. Everyone's kids are pretty much back in school. Are your kids carrying some kind of trauma kit, some kind of med supplies? Does their classroom have this available? Does their school bus have this available? The answer for most people is no. And then people want to know why the number one leading cause of preventable traumatic death is bleeding, and number two is compromised airway. Because nobody fucking cares, man. If you have the power to impact your school, your school's bus transport, your school's classrooms, your school's administration, your kids, other people's kids, get them to carry med supplies. Get them to carry a trauma kit. Get them to carry these tools, and then get them the training. And there's only one person that you can rely on, and that is you. And so if I can teach that concept to my kids, to my wife, to everybody around me, the number one person you can rely on is you. I can't rely on the fact that some bus driver is going to have any fucking clue what to do in case they actually crash, or any school teacher is going to have any fucking clue what to do. Again, I'll say it before and I'll say it again. Schools don't give a fuck. They don't fucking care.
Nope.
Christian schools and Jewish schools, they care the most. Really open-minded charter schools care the next most. And public schools, you guys, they don't give a fuck. It's like, what does it take for people to understand? They don't fucking care. For over a decade, we've been offering free training, free kits, free tools, free everything to public schools, to all schools.
Yep, and none of them know how to do it.
They don't give a fuck. These are government workers that I don't fucking like, who work for an organization I don't fucking like, and they don't give a shit about the safety and security of your kids. They don't fucking care. I'm just here to teach children. No, you're not, you simple-minded, smooth-brained fucking idiot. You're not just here to teach kids. You are here to support them. You're here to provide for their future. You're here to take care of them.
Keep them safe.
And to keep them safe. And if that means fighting off some shithead who's trying to get to them, then by God, you better fucking take that responsibility upon yourself. And maybe if you got unfat and unstupid, you could fucking do some of that shit. But unfortunately, most people aren't willing to do either one of those things because they require some level of discipline and self-control. And so thus, your public school children, for the most part, are wildly, wildly unsecure and wildly unsupported when it comes to the concept of what would happen if one of them just falls on the playground and gets hurt. Most of these adults who are so fucking educated, oh, I'm so educated, they're so fucking educated, they have no fucking clue what to do to their own bodies if something fucking goes wrong. And that's the majority of programs that I see and witness. I have begged schools. You guys, no shit. Over the last decade, I have begged schools, please let me come in and teach your people. Please. I've gone to teachers individually. Please come to my programs. You can come to a full day class that most people are paying $200 to $300 for. I will cover your costs. Please fucking come. Please.
Yeah.
And they don't, because they're government fucking schlubs. And that's all there is to it. They're used to that government dick, and that's all they fucking know. And if they don't, if no one tells them you have to do this to keep your job, they don't give a shit. If it doesn't mean I have to do this to keep my job, they don't give a damn. And if you're offended by this, I don't fucking care. What are you, new to the show?
Yeah, because we're coming after you as soon as we hit our main topic.
Yeah, just wait till we haven't even started yet. It gets worse.
Yeah, you think we don't like teachers? Well, wait till we talk to you about emergency response and what you're not doing.
All right, let's see. I gotta go through. I got some news stories I have to skip because of our time constraint here. So, stand by. Okay, stand by. Oh, good news! I'm on to good news. Good news for Dave.
There we go.
Hey, this is actually pretty good.
It's good.
I could
use some good news.
Analysis shows we've been overestimating the amount of plastic in the oceans by over 30 times.
Oh, that is good news.
Yeah. So it turns out, like, here's the thing. I hear about all these floats of plastic, right? I've been on the ocean a lot. I don't really see this. I mean, if you go to the nastier parts of, like, California, which is a shithole piece of fucking shit, then you'll see those nasty fucking places. But if you go to really nice states, I don't know, like, let's say they were red ones, and you go to those states, you don't see that kind of shit. All you see, the only time you see shitty beaches and shitty shitholes is where there's shitty fucking people. And shitty people congregate to blue states like fucking flies to shit, literally.
Right.
And so you see that kind of shit floating up on their fucking beaches because nobody wants to take care of it because they're also busy saving the environment by protesting on fucking Instagram, that none of them actually go down to the fucking beach and actually do anything. Most of these stupid motherfuckers have never even been outside. How the fuck are they going to save anything, all right? So my point being is, yet again, we find statistics and all this other shit over-talked about and overdone. I got to read this freaking article, a little bit of it here real quick. All right. Scientists in the Netherlands have shown quite convincingly, i.e., overwhelmingly positively, that the issue of plastic pollution in our oceans is far smaller than anyone believed. Oh, I wouldn't say that, but I appreciate your attitude, goodnewsnetwork.org. Their research highlights a variety of good news tidbits. The first one being that abstract scientific modeling can be more than just wrong, but completely wrong. The first one being that abstract scientific modeling can be more than just wrong, but completely you don't fucking say. And the second is that organizations pulling trash out of the oceans and rivers today aren't simply mowing a golf course with nail clippers. They're making a significant difference to these ecosystems. And that's true. A lot of these organizations are going out and they're collecting dumpsters full of stuff, mostly in fucking blue states, but they are collecting dumpsters of this shit. You know, most of it, like, the homeless are appreciated and people, like, are throwing their garbage in the ocean, and, like, California's dumping their garbage in the ocean, and, you know, Portland's and dumping their garbage in the, and they're Let's dumping, not forget yeah, and then California's water. Dumping fresh water in the ocean, and yeah. Portland's dumping their garbage in the ocean. Let's just say all these places were democratically controlled. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that all these fucking shitholes were also controlled by shitholes. Let's just fucking say that, right? Of course there's lots of fucking garbage in those places, but everywhere else, you've got this really positive news. How much plastic is made to the oceans over the last 20 years ranged from 50 million to 300 million tons. That's what the estimates were based on scientific modeling. Hmm. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Based on scientific modeling, number of plastics made it to the oceans over the last 20 years ranged from 50 million to 300 million tons.
That's narrowed down.
Yeah, 50 to 300. That's not a big fucking gap. But the actual amount, here's the best part. Wait, do you hear this gap? Is likely somewhere around 3 million tons. So they thought it was 50 to 300. Wow. You know, we're just guessing here. It could be anywhere from 50 to 300, but it's actually probably more like 3. It's actually probably more like, it's more like 3. And no one's going to lose their jobs over this, right? None of these fucking faggots who have been like, save the turtles or whatever are going to be like, oh, God, I'm sorry. I apologize. I was wrong. And they're just going to fucking go get in their Prius and fucking drive back to their styrofoam house and fuck their beta spouse or whatever. I'm fucking done with these idiots. I hope their children forget how to read. All right, wow. Moving on news. But there you go. That is positive. Less than 30 times overestimating.
Yeah, so I'm done recycling.
Yeah, swim in the ocean all you want, motherfuckers. Do your thing. I was actually watching a thing on recycling the other day, and they were like, dude, if you're recycling plastic,
you're wasting your time.
You're literally wasting your time.
Yep.
Nobody fucking recycles it.
Yep.
Yeah, your recycle bins are a joke. To me, literally, and I will say this openly on the mic, I love my environment. I love nature. Yeah. I love the world. Mm-hmm. I am not a hater of the world. I love conservation. I participate in tons of conservation projects and volunteer organizations and all that. I absolutely love the world. We have one world. We have to take care of it. We are stewards of the land.
Yep.
My recycle bin to me is a second trash can. Right. That's all it is, man.
And to our children who throw food in there.
All we try to do is keep the kids from throwing food in there. I do try to keep them from throwing, like, have some goddamn personal responsibility to your kid. But outside of that, it's like, it's pretty much just a second trash can to me.
Yeah, I just did a little bit extra work.
I'm just like, dude, they're not fucking recycling. Anyway, if you look into recycling, if you don't believe us, just look into recycling.
Yeah.
It's a fucking scam. Joke. So anyways, that being said, Redwire gear moment. Buy training versions and replicas of your real gear. It's not expensive nowadays to go out. Get a blue gun. Get an airsoft gun. If you can, right? They're not that expensive. A Umarex Airsoft Glock 19 replica is about $180. You can get a really top of the line, kick ass M4, you know, basic level airsoft gun for $400, $500. You can get a blue gun for $100, a pistol for $40 or $50. Get training replicas so that you can start doing more practice. And then if you have the means, start putting the optics and the lights and whatever. And this is where it is okay to buy the airsoft shit, right? Because you're just putting it on fake training replicas. But buy stuff that most realistically replicates your real-world tools so that you can practice all your room clearing safely. You can practice your weapons manipulation safely, like Dave was talking about. You can practice your weapon retention. You can practice your takeaways. You can practice all that kind of stuff safely and effectively without having to worry about anybody obviously getting hurt or damaging real fucking tools. You know, nothing's worse. Like, I can tell you guys, like, our UTM guns get the shit beat out of them. People fucking throw them. They drop them. They bang them against cars. They punch people in the fucking helmet with them. They do all kinds of shit with them. And it breaks them sometimes. And I have to, you know, I have to repair them or I have to sometimes replace them. Like, training tools are made to be busted up and broken. And that's part of the reason they're so much less expensive, generally speaking, than the real tool. So get a training replica. That's blades. That's guns. That's tourniquets. That's everything. You know, get a training replica or some kind of variation so that you can use that tool for the real world in training. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by redwiregear.com. All right, our topic for this week, creating standards and measurement for all emergency preparation skills. So guys, we're not just going to talk about shooting. And we're not just going to talk about medicine. I know we talk a lot about shooting. We talk a lot about medicine. But we're not just going to talk about shooting and medicine. We're not just going to talk about combatives. It's going to be hard for Dave. He likes to talk about hitting people in the face. But it's not just going to be about that. It's going to be about more than that. It's going to be talking about all emergency response or emergency preparation skills. So we're talking about land navigation. We're talking about changing the tire on your car. We're talking about doing a fire drill with your family. We're talking about doing all these things. Anything that you say, hey man, this prepares me for some level of emergency. So the first thing I want to start with is, what are you trying to accomplish? All right. So before we create standards and measurements, we have to literally look at, what are we trying to accomplish? Am I trying to get a bunch of grown adults out of this building? Am I trying to get a bunch of children out of this building? Am I trying to get them out of this building in a certain amount of time? Am I trying to get them to a certain location? Let's just say I'm using like a fire drill as an example. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm trying to accomplish. If I'm looking at shooting, what am I trying to accomplish? Am I trying to hit a target at 10 yards, 5 yards, 3 yards, 50 yards, 100, 200, 300? What am I trying to accomplish? Once I figure out what I'm trying to accomplish, then I can start narrowing down my standards and measurements. And I can start looking at the context, or what I like to call in training, for those of you guys who train with us before, you'll hear me talk about the story a lot. What is your story? So what are you trying to accomplish? Like, if I'm doing a fire drill in my house, for example, I'm not just doing a fire drill for when I'm there. I'm primarily doing a fire drill for when I'm not there, when my kids are just there. When I'm doing shooting, I'm not just shooting for when I'm by myself in a fucking desert environment, it's just me and these two bad guys, fucking high noon kind of shit. I'm looking at the context and story of, my kids are there, Drew is there, it's home defense, et cetera, et cetera. So you have to start adding the story as you're looking at standards and you're looking at measurement. I'm gonna kind of sidetrack for a second and talk about a private student I had yesterday, which just fits perfectly for. And as we were working, it was a couple actually, and as we're working with this husband and wife on their shooting skills, one of the things that I really wanted to work on the husband particularly with was, you don't have to be perfect. So if I put a scoring target up on this target, he was all about achieving that high score, you know, hitting everything in the box, hitting everything in this area. So then all I simply did, like we often do on our trainings, I just covered up the entire torso with a t-shirt. And on the back of the target where he couldn't see, I took a can of spray paint and I sprayed the acceptable area that bullets would land in. I don't give a fuck if it's on the far left side or the far right side or the far bottom or the far top. If it's in the acceptable area, then it's acceptable. And then I had him start shooting faster by getting a faster target or sight acquisition and working faster. And what he found was he could shoot way faster, or way more often, as we like to say. Mm-hmm. And still get the same quality of hits on the move from concealment at various different distances, all because we changed the story. We changed the context. And that's really, really important. The next thing I would say is, video everything. Like, once you know your story, once you know what you're trying to accomplish and you know your story, video everything. Video yourself. You'd be amazed the dumb shit you see. I video clients and send it to them constantly. I'll video them sometimes without telling them, and then I'll send them a little Dropbox link later. Hey, check this video out. Watch this. You see what I was talking about? I'll video people and show it to them right in the middle of class. I've done it in the middle of a 16-person class. I'll say, hey, man, you know what you're doing? You're really, you know, jerking the trigger. Or, hey, you're not really putting that tourniquet on right. Or something. No, I think I'm getting them. I'm like, okay. And then I'll just stand behind them and video kind of secretly and go, hey, I want you to watch something with me. See this video? And they're like, oh, fuck. And you're like, sometimes it's hard to appreciate if you don't see it from outside of yourself. It's hard to see it from inside yourself. So video everything to help you create these standards and measurements. Then reassess and reevaluate. Okay, you know what you're trying to accomplish. You know your context. You videoed it. Am I performing well? It's time to reassess and reevaluate. Do I need to move faster? Like one of the students I worked with yesterday, the wife, it was like, you just need to move faster. Everything else you're doing is great. You're just slow. You need to physically pick up the speed. That's all you have to do. And you can, as long as you maintain this standard, which is the accuracy standard we created, you're fine. You just need to physically actually move faster. You're just moving slow. And that's a really simple way to put it when you're just, you know, looking at reassessing and reevaluating. Here, I videoed you. Here's you, you know, in this case, it was presenting your pistol. Look how fucking slow you are. Here's your husband presenting his pistol. Look how fast he is. I hear you are presenting yours. Look how fucking slow you are. Physically move faster. See what I'm saying? And then they go, oh, shit. I see what you're saying. Okay, we reassess, reevaluate. Everything's going good. Shoot going faster, physically moving in some ways faster. As long as it's not affecting your accuracy and you're staying within our standards, awesome.
We see that too when we video people once we start moving and shooting. Mm-hmm. And
the weird
they're
shit
doing
they
the turtle,
do.
They're doing mm-hmm. the tactical walking, whatever, mm-hmm. and they don't realize it. Mm-hmm. And you tell them and they still don't realize it.
Because you can't see yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you video and show them, you're like, oh, I do look like a dork.
Yeah. Oh, I see why I'm throwing those shots. It literally is like my phone is one of my more valuable teaching tools. From a video perspective. I video a lot of students. Sometimes I'm just using it to show it to them. Like, hey, man, I'm not keeping this. I'm not posting anything like that. But, like, watch this. Watch yourself. See what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know. And I do the same thing positively to reinforce stuff. Like, hey, I want you to watch this. And they'll be like, oh, God. And I'll be like, what do you see that's wrong here? You know, and they're like, oh, it's like, nothing. Nothing right. is wrong. You're doing yeah. terrific. Fucking calm down. You know what I mean? Like, okay, yeah. now we're ready to move on to the next skill set. See how good this looks? Mm. Look how well you're moving. Look how well you're reloading. Look how proficient you are doing this skill. Look how good you're putting that tourniquet on. Look how well you're bandaging this patient. You know, look how well you're doing this move. Hey, we've been working on this particular hit, this particular grapple, this particular, you know, hold, this particular takeaway all night long. And now look at you do it. Fuck, you're doing terrific. Like, give yourself a little fucking credit. You know, so like I like to use video for that as well. Like, hey, video, look how good this looks, man. It looks fucking great. The last thing I would say for creating standards and measurements is setting a watermark. At some point in time, you have to know how good you are. Now, it happens to be next week we're going to be talking about pressure testing. But at some point in time, you have to know how good you are. Like, as an example, I have students who come to me and they go, I want a private shooting lesson. I go, okay, what would you like to do? I want to shoot faster. Okay, how fast are you right now? I don't know. Well, then how do you know you want to shoot faster? How do you know shooting faster is even fucking possible? Maybe you're the fastest motherfucker I'm ever going to see. How do you know that? Well, I don't know. Okay, well, then let's work on that. But at some point in time, let's set a watermark. So you can use me as a watermark. Here, let's see. You shoot against me. Or if we got a 16-person student or a 16-student class, I mean, shoot against these other 16 students. How'd you do? You know, now you got a watermark. Now you can kind of see, based on your capabilities, your limitations, your physicality, whatever it is, what's your watermark? Because I can't set a standard. Like, here's what happens with standards, like qualifications and all that. You guys remember, that's a minimum standard and most of it's bullshit. If I'm going to set a standard for my own performance, I got to set that as a watermark against everybody else. As a personal example, last night, I'm playing softball. Everything's going great. I'm having a great night. Made some awesome catches in the outfield. I'm hitting really well. Everything's going great, right? And I go for this catch in the outfield. The wind was blowing at our backs really hard, which in the outfield sucks because it'll kill a pop fly. And it's kind of a shit show because it'll just like be up there and all of a sudden it will just drop to the sky like a fucking – or drop from the sky like a meteor and you have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had one get really high and get hit by the wind and I'm trying to judge it and it drops and I fucking missed it. You know, and that's not often, but I fucking totally missed it. I mean, it's 5 fucking feet away from it. Like, I wasn't even close. Yeah. And my right fielder was like, no, you're shit, you're short, short. And I'm like, I can't fucking cover that distance as fast as you're telling me to.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, fuck, you know, God damn it, right? And then I start to remember, oh, yeah, none of us are Major League Baseball players. As I watch one of our infielders, who is an amazing ball player. I mean, this guy is fucking incredible. Make this amazing diving catch. I mean, the kind of diving catch that you're like, whoa, that's Major League shit. Yeah. Sit up, look around, make a completely wrong assessment of what was going on, and then shittily throw the ball to the wrong fucking base.
Oh, wow.
And then I remembered, oh, yeah, I'm playing slow pitch men's softball where none of us are professionals. So my point is like, if I'm going to have a standard for my performance, I'm not saying I'm making it okay for me to make a mistake, but I'm saying if I'm going to have a standard for my performance, I also have to look around at everyone else around me and go, what is everyone else doing? Am I better than them? Am I lesser than them? Am I equal to them? And here's the, before I turn it over to Dave, here's what I'll say about this. If you find yourself in a group where all you are is better, you're in the wrong group. You're the sum of the five people that you spend the most time around, as we've said on the show before. So it's important, if you're going to set a watermark for your standard, for your measurement, for land navigation, shooting, fighting, whatever it is, that you hang out with people that are better than you and that are proven better. Not shit talkers, not people who say, but people who put up and show up and say, this is what I'm capable of doing. So that you have a realistic watermark to measure yourself against.
So as what seems to be a normal trend, I approached it from a little bit different angle, as a less conceptually and more tied into where we spend most of our lives. Mm-hmm. And we either spend most of our lives at work, in a vehicle, or at home. And so as we compartmentalize those areas and looking at areas in which, okay, well, what standards should I have in each of those areas? And I think you break those down into personal protection and personal preservation. And so in each of those, you can look at those as, you know, if we start at home, we've done shows on home preparedness and all that kind of stuff. But for example, what's your standard based on what we've experienced with COVID and all of that nonsense? What's your food standard? What amount of food do you think you need for how long, and how's it going to last? You want 6 months, you want a year. Do you need to start with that much? Maybe not. Maybe you start with 3 months and you build. But the point is, you have a watermark of, okay, this is what I feel comfortable with a good 6 months worth of food. And this is, you know, I've done the calculations based on my family size, based on what we eat and what we're going to need. This is what I need with regard to that. So that's one example of how you can set a standard and have a standard that you can measure up to. Say, okay, here's what we, you know, or here are maybe the five things for home that we want. We want to have water. We want to have food. We want to have an ability to create fire. We want to have home protection, all those kinds of things. Well, each of those can be not only standardized but measured, and then determine where you're at and create a plan that works towards getting to where you want to be. It doesn't have to be overnight. It could be a process that you go through. The next phase is, what about work? You know, you may have limitations as to what you can, you know, can you bring personal protection equipment to work? Maybe you can, maybe you can't. So if that's not the case, what's your standard there? Is it more, okay, I'm not really going to work as much protection in my workplace. I'm going to work on exiting and getting out of here. That's going to be more of a priority. And do I know, for example, where are the exits in my facility that I'm working in? Where are the fire extinguishers? Where are the medical supplies? Where are, you know, if there's a fire, how do I get out of here? You know, where's that map on the wall that I can go access and take a picture of and learn and study? And then finally, the, you know, being in our vehicles. We spend a ton of time in our vehicles. And what's in there in your vehicle that's preparing you that you can now create standards for with regard, you know, even something simple we talked about before on the show, like how much gas is in your vehicle? Do you always keep it at a half a tank or more, which is what we recommend? So all of these areas are basically compartmentalized areas where you can then create standards within that go beyond just my shooting or just, you know, and think about, okay, all the things that could go wrong, how can I now start to prepare for those and create standards with regard to that? I think from a little bit different perspective, when I thought of this, one of the things I thought about as well was, what about me? How am I doing as a man and the standards I want to hold myself to. Am I willing to put those standards of performance on myself personally? Am I equipped in all the areas I want to be equipped in to be able to be a protector, a provider, and someone who can be a role model to my family? Am I fit? Am I able to do the things I'm going to need to be able to do to protect myself that way? What's my standard for that? Do I have, like, for example, I think we share a standard that's kind of like this. It's a standard I use for black belt qualification in my schools. You got to be able to do 50 push-ups, 50 sit-ups, 10 pull-ups, 50 squats, run a mile, and sprint 100 yards. Those are just general standards that I would expect anybody to be able to do if you're going to call yourself a black belt in my school. That's like the minimum physical requirements that you need to achieve. Can you go beyond that? Sure. But the point is, that's the standard that's been set. And so you don't get the black belt. I don't care how good you are at whatever else you do. You can't meet those standards, you don't get a black belt. Because that's just – I have grandmothers, women in their 50s, that have done this, that have met those standards. So there's really no excuse for anyone to not be able to meet them unless they have some kind of obviously physical limitation, a handicap of some kind, or whatever. So the point is, what are we doing as far as just ourselves to be able to live up to the standard? Because it doesn't matter if I do all this cool prep stuff and then I die from a heart attack because I didn't take care of myself. I have no standards for myself that also lead my family to create their standards for themselves and understand that, yeah, dad's doing this, so you got to do this too, right? It's not you do – it's not, you know, what's best for me. No, it's what's best for all of us. And I'm going to lead by example. I'm going to make that sacrifice to do that. So I think from that standpoint, I think we can start with ourselves as well with regard to creating standards and measurements of how that is. Again, you don't need to be a bodybuilder. You don't need to be, you know, but you should be able to be physically active and look at what you're eating. You know, look at what standards are you putting on the food that we're feeding our families and the incredible importance of nutrition in our daily lives. So anyway, those are just some examples of how I compartmentalized this and looked at each of those areas and how you can then standardize those areas with regard to what you're trying to accomplish. Like you said, what's your end goal? For my end goal in my house, it's preservation and protection. And so with it just being my son and I, well, then I need this much water. I need this much food. We have the security. My son knows how to operate all the guns, and he knows how to run all the medical gear. And so we have a nice little setup that's, you know, all the people in my home, him, basically is trained on how to do everything without me as well. So that's a standard that I think is really important. Is it's great that I may be able to do all of these things. I may be able to shoot well. I may be able to run medical. But if my family doesn't, then it doesn't matter. It's useless. You really need to be training your family in all aspects.
Well, and that's where I think standards, like if I could sum up standards and measurements this way, I'd say this. A standard is fluid because your standard, let's say, for physical performance is not going to be the same standard as your son's. It's not going to be the same standard as your son 10 years ago when he was 9 or whatever, right?
Right.
The standards are always going to change. The measurement does not. In other words, if you're saying the standard for physical fitness is, let's just say, push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, run, and a sprint, all right? If you're going to say that's the standard, which I, you know, relatively agree with, I would add rucking to mine. But outside of that, it's like my standard is fluid. But the way we're measuring the standard is not. So it's the same. It's just like with accuracy of land navigation. My standard of how far someone might need to be able to travel across a certain distance accurately from point to point, from bearing to bearing, the standard may fluctuate based on what I'm trying to accomplish. Am I trying to have someone stand on top of a fucking land nav point within, 3 meters? Is that what I'm trying to accomplish? Is that my standard?
That's a pretty tight standard, yeah.
Or is my standard, because that's typical land nav shit, right?
Yeah.
Or is my land nav, I want you to be able to pick up a compass and go from this point, from this mountain to that mountain without getting fucking lost when you can't see that mountain. So I want you to be able to shoot a bearing so when you can't see that mountain, you can still follow the correct bearing so that when you come out of the trees, come out of the canyon, come out of the wash, whatever, you're still headed towards that mountain.
Yeah.
The measurement, in other words, the thing that I'm using to get to that standard, we'll say in this case, a compass with degrees and bearings, has not changed. It's just the acceptable standard. The measurement is still the same. You know, if we're gonna measure accuracy, all right, well, what's the standard? Well, the standard's gonna change. Am I shooting an Army qual? Am I shooting an AZ post qual? Am I shooting the independence training defensive handgun instructor qual? Am I shooting top shot for a defensive carbine class?
Yeah.
What am I shooting? The standard's going to change. The way we measure it with accuracy and speed has never changed. But that standard is going to change based on what we're trying to accomplish. Are we just trying to hit targets at 800? Or are we trying to hit them in a fist-sized group? Are we trying to hit them in a palm-sized group? Are we trying to hit a minute of angle target? Are we trying to hit a 4-minute of angle target? The standard that we're creating is going to be different based on what we're trying to accomplish. And that's why it's so important, like kind of what Dave was talking about, to establish, and like I mentioned in the beginning, what am I trying to accomplish? You know, what am I trying to create a standard for?
Yeah.
Because if I'm trying to create a standard for physical fitness for my children, how I'm going to measure that is going to be much more fluid. Hey, man, are they getting up every morning and doing some push-ups with me? I'm pretty fucking stoked about that.
Right.
You know what I mean? At some point in time, I'm going to create a standard for them. Hey, you're going to do 20 push-ups.
Yeah.
But I'm going to measure the push-up the same fucking way. This is a push-up. Until you can do one good push-up, I don't care if you do 50 shitty push-ups. Yeah. There's a way to do a push-up. There's, you know, running. Yeah, the measuring is distance and time.
Right.
That's how we measure running.
Mm-hmm.
The standard is going to fluctuate based on what we're trying to accomplish. What's the context? What's the story? Am I running to run? Am I running to carry something? Am I running on a trail? Am I running up a mountain? Am I running with 80 pounds of fucking ammo on my back? What am I running with? Right. Because that's going to affect the standard. Yeah. The measurement's still going to be the same. It's going to be distance over time. You know? So the point being is standards are fluid and they should ebb and flow based on what you're trying to accomplish. But once you figure out a way to measure something, that doesn't really change. What else have you got, Dave?
Well, basically what you're saying is it's all contextual, like we say all mm-hmm. the time. It really depends on that. And so defining what those contexts are, I think, is really the first step. And or just evaluating. Maybe you have some of this stuff in place. Well, then you need to go back and just evaluate. Mm. And as simple as we talked about fire drills, how many of you have run a fire drill in your house? Not just, hey, here's what you do if there's a fire, but actually made the drill. How many of you run a security system at home and have activated it to see what your family does when it gets activated? Mm. And what's your standard, you know, and then measure that, you know, based on time or safety or whatever. One example, I'm about to put some ballistic film on the windows in my house. And when I look at that, I'm like, okay, well, there's different versions. But basically what I'm looking to do is, okay, I just want to delay a certain period of time so that I can get my ducks in a row and prepared to deal with this invasion. And so I know what that time frame is. It's measurable. And so that's now what I operate within. So everything has to work within, say, 30 seconds.
Mm.
Now, could I put something on my windows that would make them completely impenetrable? Yes, but it goes beyond what I want the standard to be.
It eliminates what you're trying to accomplish. Because what I want to try to accomplish with my windows is, I don't know, I want to be able to, I don't know, fucking see through them.
Right.
You know, so yeah, can I make them impenetrable? Sure. Can I see through them? No.
Yeah.
So the standard is fluid based on what I'm trying to accomplish. Like here at the office, I'm fine having bars on the windows. Right. We have that same security film from ProTent like we've talked about.
Yeah.
Right? We have bars on the windows. Like it's a relatively difficult thing to get through. Not impossible, because nothing's impossible, but it adds a level of complexity, okay?
Right.
But that's not what I want at my home, because that's not the standard I'm trying to create. But the measurement's still the same. I'm trying to create something that buys me time.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to create. Because if I'm not home or I'm not in this office, someone has all the time they need to get in. But if I'm here, I'm trying to buy time. Yeah. Now, in this kind of vein, Privacy Mike sent us some stuff knowing that we were going to be talking about this. He said he sent me an email with some basic digital security standards, which I'm going to use these as an example because, one, I think it's valuable information, and two, it kind of gives another good example about standards which can be kind of fluid based on how you measure them. So, for example, here are some standards. All devices updated with newest operating system. Unique different randomized passwords for all accounts. Using a password manager, having at least a second email address you use for online accounts that's separate from the email you use for family, friends, work, et cetera, and removing unused apps from your phone. So those are standards. Now, those standards are fluid based on what I'm trying to accomplish. The way I measure them might be this. Like, here's a way to measure that I like that he sent me some kind of expanded points. I'm going to use this as an example. If the phone or computer is sold, it doesn't get security updates. Stop using it and get a new device. That's the measurement. If it's so old I can't update it,
right.
Stop fucking using it. Because it doesn't allow me to, you know, fluid that standard at all. Unique different randomized passwords for all your accounts. Passwords get leaked all the time from breach websites. Attackers will try to use that leaked password for all common websites. If you have unique passwords, they can't get into any of your account. So the measurement is I use unique passwords. The standard is flexible of how many different passwords do I use for the same accounts. Hey, my most common accounts, maybe I use the same password. That's not a perfect scenario, but maybe that's what I do. But the measurement is, are you using unique passwords for different accounts? Using a password manager. It's impossible to have unique strong passwords for all accounts without using a password manager. The measurement is using a password manager.
Right.
The standard is, I might not use that password manager for everything. If it's a password that I use a lot, I may not need the password manager for that, right? Having at least 1 second email prevents phishing attacks. Assume the email address you use to talk to people is publicly known. An attacker may craft a realistic looking email from Amazon or PayPal to trick you into typing your password, et cetera. The measurement is having a different password so that you don't get fucked over by a phishing email. The standard is I may have 6 fucking different emails. I may use one for this and one for that and one for this.
Yeah.
Removing unused apps from your phone. The measurement he's giving an example here is apps can steal data off your phone and send it off to be harvested. So we know then that the measurement is delete unused apps. The standard is, well, I might need to use that unused app later and I may not have Wi-Fi, so I might keep that unused app on my phone depending on what I'm trying to accomplish. So how we measure things. So this is just kind of a good digital security example and also some information, obviously, on standards and measurement. So to kind of wrap things up for the show is this. I believe measurements are the hard and fast, and standards are the fluid thing. What else have you got, Dave?
I think, yeah, and then applying those measurements and standards in the right areas of your life because you don't know where trouble's coming, what direction. And so one of the things that we work on in the fight game is to do the best you can to avoid an ambush. And so in order to do that, based on where I go and how I live and that kind of stuff, there are certain standards that I set for myself and ways I measure that. Same idea is looking at the areas of your life and, again, focusing on, in my opinion, two things, preparedness and preservation or protection and preservation, and looking at how am I doing in both of those cases in general and then getting more specific as you need to.
So whatever skill you're trying to build or work on, set standards that you know are going to be flexible based on what you're trying to accomplish and set a system of measurements that is consistent. I don't care if it's land nav, physical fitness, combative shooting, medicine, whatever it is. The standards are going to be fluid based on what I'm trying to accomplish. The measurements, that's the solid fact. Maybe it's push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, a run. You're going to measure everybody by those things. Mm-hmm. The standards are going to be different if I'm dealing with someone who's got one leg.
Sure.
Someone who's 50 versus someone who's 25. A professional athlete versus someone who's 60 years old.
Midgets.
Yeah, midgets. We could do a whole fucking show about midgets. Do we have any listeners who are midgets? That's a real fucking question.
Not anymore.
If you're a listener to the show and you're a mid, I don't, dwarf, short person, anything like that.
That used to be.
I want to fucking know.
Yeah.
I just want to know. I don't know why I want to know. I don't know, but I want to fucking know. All right. Independence training moment. What did we do this past week to better prepare any of the four zones for an emergency? Mm. We nursed a chicken back to health, and we learned about our local vet services. So I had an opportunity to just freaking cap a chicken and call it a fucking day and have some chicken McNuggets or nurse a chicken back to health to further prepare us for taking care of livestock. Because that's what we did when I was a kid. We didn't just fucking kill shit because it was hurt. Sometimes you had to put stuff down. But ultimately, we did what we could to nurse things back to help. And Drew did an amazing job of being chicken doctor, chicken nurse, and nursing a chicken back to health to keep this animal alive. And she is now back with the flock and thriving because we put in the time and effort to learn how to take care of an animal instead of just, bam, shooting it. Because what if it's later down the line and there isn't just running down to the, you know, to the place and getting some new chicks? Plus, a new chick to lay is another 6 fucking months, man. I already have 8 laying chickens. I don't want to wait another 6 months for another one or two.
Yeah.
So nursing this one back to health, yes, it was a learning process. Yes, it cost us some money. It cost us some energy. It cost us some resources. But Drew did Drew was really the 90% of that. I was 10% of it. Drew was awesome. She nursed a chicken back to health until now we have a chicken who's fully integrated for the most part back into the flock and healthy and thriving, and we kept it alive. And that matters from a extended standpoint of us kind of learning more about even local vet services, like what vet services can do locally. Not all veterans, just like all doctors. Veterinarians. Not all veterans. Veterinarians. I keep saying vets. I'm only using it in one term most of my life. Veterinarians. Not all veterinarians are created equal.
Right.
So we had some that are like, dude, we don't deal with fucking chickens. Yeah. You know, you got to go. You got to call these people if you want to deal with chickens. So that was pretty amazing. So anyway, Independence Training Moment brought to you by TrainingAZ.com. Remember, you can always bring us out to train with you. Get hosting information via email, info@TrainingAZ.com, and we can come out to you, give you our awesome opinions straight to your face in person. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook as The Armed Room Show. Independence Training, Redwire Gear, MRC Phoenix, our running group, PMA, Premier Martial Arts Scottsdale, and PMA Peoria. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Please be sure to check out the other shows on the network. There's over 50 shows on the network. Check out their publication services, their transcription services. They've got all kinds of cool production services. You want to start your own podcast? Heroes Media Group is the place to go. Amazing, amazing organization to deal with. Next week, kind of in line with what we're talking about today or this week, we're going to be talking about when and how to pressure test skills. When is it important to pressure test a skill, and how do we pressure test it? Now that we've set this kind of standards and measurement, how do we test it to see if our standards and measurements actually fucking worked? And where is a failure point just I failed because this was almost destined to fail, and oh my God, I failed and I need to go back and figure out what I did wrong. Until then, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Armstrong.